IVM.
Hello everybody, welcome to the 21st episode of the Sponge Podcast. As always, I'm with Ambi Parmeshwaran to talk about his book, Sponge, Leadership Lessons I Learned from My Clients. Today we're going to be talking about chapter 21, Failing to Try versus Failing. Hi Ambi.
Hi, good to be back.
It is good to have you as always. It is, and this is a fun chapter for me particularly because we're going to be talking about entrepreneurs.
And you are one, right?
Yes, I am. And so I think that it should be fun to hear your perspective on these things. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, like the first part that I want to talk a little bit about was your interaction with Naukri and Sanjeev Bikhchandani and how you started or how you created their first television campaign.
No, okay, so let me go back. This was done by our Delhi office. And these stories are all from my Delhi team, you know, my colleague Arvind Bable, I think, who's a great leader running the Delhi office, and his team, Sanjay Sharma, was a creative director. So they, you know, Info Edge, you know, and Sanjeev Bikhchandani told the story when I was doing a book launch with him in Delhi, and he's an IIM Ahmedabad graduate, and he had joined a large FMCG company. And he had this little itch to do something, to start something. And he realized that every fortnight when Business India landed up in the office, all the young executives grabbed the magazine and went to the last pages of the magazine. And he said, what is there in the last page? And he discovered last 20 pages are full of ads for product managers, marketing managers and stuff like that. And he said, hey, this, you know, this looks like an interesting industry to get into, you know. And he got out of the job he was in, set up Naukri, struggled for several years till he got some kind of funding. And once he got the funding, and I think the VCs also told him that now you need to ramp up, you know, you need to start getting better quality CVs onto your website, and you need to attract better quality, you know, clients to come and pay you money. So they gave him, I don't know the exact amount, maybe 3 crores or something like that, and he said, okay, let me look for an agency, and he appointed FCB Ulka Delhi to handle this business. And, you know, those are the days where you pay the agency a particular amount of money as a monthly retainer. So every month, you know, they went and they presented some ideas. I mean, none of them were very happy. So they went back. They went again after a month, presented some more ideas. Again, it was not working. And Sanjeev was saying that how one of his team members had come, you know, had located some report from either Economist or BBC or something like that, and which gave reasons why people quit their jobs. And he pulled out that report, gave it to the agency and said, hey guys, why don't you read this? Maybe there's something there. And the agency read the report, also did their own little dipstick study. And a month later, they went and presented a campaign. And they presented one ad, which was a TV script. And they said that we have one more idea, and they presented a second TV script. And it transpired that the first TV script, which was, you know, rooted in this idea that people don't quit jobs, they quit their bosses.
Right.
Okay. And the main reason, and they may give you reasons like, you know, I'm going for money, I'm going for a better title, I'm going for a better office, I'm going for a better location, I'm going for a better canteen. But the truth is, they're probably going for a better boss.
Right.
So this was the first script they presented. And the script was about this guy who's in the washroom. He is washing his hand and his boss walks in. This guy moves aside and the boss washes his hand and starts shouting at him.
Right.
And he goes on and on and on. And this guy gets very irritated. He takes a tap and turns the tap on to the boss and gets the boss soaking wet. And the boss is shocked. And the guy walks out of the washroom and the super comes on saying, guess who's heard from us? And the last logo comes on saying, Naukri, India's number one job site.
Right.
Now, this film, if you look at it, it's a 30-second film, but the brand name appears only in the last 2 seconds of the film. So it's a very risky film to make.
Right.
Especially for someone who's going to be advertising on TV for the first time. So the agency, in its own wisdom, said, look, we cannot recommend this because it's a very risky ad. So let's also recommend a safe option. So they had a very safe option, which said that, you know, you're looking for a better job, post your, you know, CV on Naukri, you'll get a better job. So it was a very safe, simple right. ad. It also turned out the simpler ad was cheaper to make. In fact, Sanjeev was remembering that the first ad would have cost them 25 lakhs to make.
Okay.
And the second ad would have cost them 8 lakhs to make. So he was saving pretty much, you know, a lot right. of money, yeah. which he could put on media.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what my thought process goes to immediately.
Yeah, so he said, you know, and he said the agency was clear. They said, look, the first ad is a great ad. But we will not, you know, but you need to figure out what you can do with your money best.
Right.
And he said in the meeting, 3-4 of us, the marketing manager, the so-called brand manager, and he were sitting and discussing this. And then finally he said, one of the team members said, look, sir, you know, we need to do something different. We can't do the same stuff. So we've got one chance. Let's do it right. And he said, we took the call to do that washroom commercial. And he also said that we took a bet that, look, we will not blow up all our money. We'll blow up half the money on this washroom commercial and we'll see. If it doesn't work, we'll always have the safe bet to go back to. As it turned out, the washroom commercial turned out to be a big hit. And it suddenly started getting Naukri registered in the minds of consumers. The quality of CVs, you know, the problem with all these job sites at that point of time was that most of them were getting CVs from people looking for a job in a call center. No one who had done his MBA or engineering would be putting his CV on a job site.
Also, a lot of freshers back then. I remember earlier it used to be a lot of people right out of college. You couldn't hire senior or you couldn't even hire mid-level.
Yeah, so it was basically entry-level jobs. Yeah. So suddenly they started getting good quality CVs. And then when you start getting good quality CVs, the virtuous cycle starts. You know, so you get good quality jobs. And it turned out to be an ad which then led to another very, very popular ad, again done by the Delhi team, led by our, you know, Arun Bable and Vasudha Mishra was a writer and Sanjay Sharma was a creative director. This was the ad where this boss is booking a room, booking a table for two at a restaurant, and the restaurant wants to know in whose name should the booking be, and he says Hari Sadhu. And the operator on the other side says, who, can you spell it? And one of his colleagues says, sir, I'll spell it. So he says, H for Hitler, I for idiot, R for rascal, and, you know.
I remember the ad well.
S for shameless or something like that, right? So that again turned out as a great hit, and right. it got rated as probably the best ad of the decade and stuff like that. So if you were to go and look at by a classical yardsticks of advertising, there are books written on how P&G decides on its advertising, and there's a book called P&G 99, which says that when P&G makes an ad which is 30 seconds long, the brand name should appear within 14 seconds, and in a 30-second commercial, the brand name should be repeated at least 3 times. Both in terms of audio and in terms of logo.
Right.
In this case, the Naukri film, the brand name never gets mentioned. It only comes as a super in the last 2 seconds. So if you get up and go for a, you know, glass of water, you miss the ad. But the fact is, even today when I play these ads, people are able to chant H for Hitler, you know, A for arrogant, R for rascal, and I for idiot, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't need to say that. People remember it. So that's the power of a great ad. And I think hats off to Sanjeev and his team for picking the right one and literally sticking their neck out on that.
What kind of DNA do you think that companies that will be more willing to take risks of this nature would have, right? I mean, like, for example, Naukri was one of the very early dot-com companies. It was one of the first dot-com successes in India. And I remember the ad at the time I was in that space. And I remember the ad, oh, wow, okay, somebody's got money to do television ads, right? For us, that was a big deal, right? But, I mean, like, so what kind of, like, what would you say the cultural differences between a company like Naukri, where they are more willing to take these risks, as opposed to, as you mentioned, P&G, which has a more kind of process-driven.
Yeah, so I think Naukri, you know, was a very big success. You know, Info Edge got listed. You know, it went public. It got listed, I think, in November 2006. And the public issue was oversubscribed 50 times. And when the issue got listed, the issue got listed at 94% higher than the issue price. So it was a great success.
Right.
And today we have a lot of e-commerce, dot-coms being advertised on TV. But, you know, Naukri is different because it actually it's a profitable company. They make profit. Mm-hmm. You know, they have positive cash flow.
Right.
But obviously, they've had their struggle. They've taken time to get there. And coming to your specific question, what is the difference between an entrepreneur and a large company? Most advertising agencies, and I'm sure other consultants as well, like working with entrepreneurs for a simple reason. You're probably dealing with the number one guy.
Right.
Right. As a result, you don't need to go through multiple layers of presentation. Mm-hmm. Right. And very often in a big company, you've gone through four rounds of presentation. Finally, you go to the big boss and the big boss says, you know, after 2 months, this is all you're showing me.
Right.
And then you turn and say, no, sir, this is not. We've shown 20 different iterations.
Right.
So, and you say, okay, what are the first iteration? You show the first iteration, the guy says, hey, I like it. Why did you guys do the other 20? You know, this happens all the time.
Right, right.
Whereas in entrepreneur-driven companies, somehow the entrepreneur tends to sit in on all the key meetings.
Right.
And he's not too worried about, I need to empower my brand manager to take a decision, marketing manager to take a decision. Right. And there is what is called death by a thousand cuts,
right.
You know. So a great idea dies because, you know, of these little thousand little cuts.
Right,
great
right.
idea. So the big advantage is no one is trying to do CYA. Mm-hmm. People are, you know, the entrepreneur takes a call and you go. And chances are he may bomb the idea, which mm-hmm. means, you know, it's been bombed.
Right.
And a lot of entrepreneurs are, you know, willing to say, look, I bombed the idea, but you guys are convinced, come back.
Right.
And they're willing to say, okay, we'll go with what you're saying. Mm. You know, so because they have the money, you know, it's, you know, they write the check. So
right, right.
They're not answerable to a boss who's sitting in Singapore or London or New York. So so it's great fun working with these entrepreneurs. And some probably, if you look at it, a lot of good advertising in this country, outstanding advertising comes from these kind of entrepreneur-driven companies.
Interesting. You know? So, you know, let's actually take that into the next, this, right? You were talking about Darshan Bhai Patel, how you met him, and the kinds of brands that they're working with, right? Move, Crack, Edgeguard, etc. Can you walk us through that part?
Yeah, see, I was unlucky because, you know, by the time I got to know Darshan Bhai Patel and I got to meet him and talk to him, by then he already launched these brands. You know, right. he was on a big success trail. You know, there are probably two Indian entrepreneurs who really understand the nerve of the Indian consumer. Mm-hmm. One is Darshan Bhai Patel and the other is Radhishyam Agarwal of Emami, at the other end of the country.
Right.
So I don't know him, but I know Darshan Bhai Patel. So when I met him, he believed that you need to pick one problem which the consumer has, design a product, look for one benefit, and hammer it like hell on TV.
Right.
But those days, you know, it was Doordarshan, and he used to say, you know, I launch it on one weekend. Hmm. Saturday, Sunday, you dominate the Hindi feature film. You do that for 4 weeks, the whole country knows your brand.
Right.
And your brand is a success or failure. So he did that with Move. Then he repeated that success with Crack. Mm-hmm. And then he, I think, did it again with
Edgeguard.
And when I met him, he was actually worried about Live On.
Hmm.
Because he had conceived of Live On as something you put on your hair after a bath.
Right.
Kind of gives your hair a very smooth thing. Mm. It's what is called after bath moisturizer for the hair.
Okay.
But he at that time was saying, look, I'm spending more money on advertising than what I'm getting as sales.
Right.
Right. So in advertising, you have this concept of A to S ratios, advertising to sales ratio.
Right.
For a large company like Unilever or P&G, the A to S ratio is probably 11 to 12.
Okay.
12%. Your 12% of your sales you spend on advertising.
Right, okay.
Whereas Darshan Bhai was that time spending 1:1.
Oh, wow.
Obviously you're losing big money. But
right.
he was used to that. He said, I'm okay with that. I'm
gestation period.
Yeah, I'm okay with, you know, spending this kind of money, but I should get traction.
Right.
Problem is he was not getting traction. And we spent several hours discussing that.
Hmm.
But luck would have it, a few years later, he sold all these brands at a pretty handsome profit. And then he went out, did some gardening, and he's back in action. He's now got a new company going called Vini Cosmetics.
Okay.
Which again came and changed the entire complexion of the aerosol, the deodorant market with a brand called Fog.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
now, when I talked to my other clients who had deodorants, you know, say, how come he cracked it? He said, we always knew that a deodorant is full of gas.
Right.
Right. And if you remove the gas, you can give a lot more to the consumer.
Right.
But we didn't have the guts to go and do this. And Darshan Bhai said, look, I will not give you gas. I'll give you perfume.
Right.
And he priced it high, but he kept advertising the hell out of it.
Right, right,
and
right.
Fogg, within 2 years, became India's number one deo brand.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, I mean, Darshan Bhai can repeat a success again and again and again, you know.
Interesting.
So, it's an amazing entrepreneur, completely homegrown, damn sharp, understands consumers, understands media, understands how to buy media, how to place media. So I used to enjoy meeting him in Ahmedabad.
So, you know, so the product that didn't work, Live On, right?
Live On struggled for almost 3-4 years. Right. He was struggling with Live On. But I think somewhere, maybe the advertising he was doing was not able to tell the story to the consumer, how to use it.
Right.
Maybe if digital media was available at that time, Darshan Bhai could have gone with a 1 minute or a 2 minute film.
Right, right, right.
Got a whole lot of influencers to write about it. And it could have been a success.
So different products work at different times.
That makes sense.
So let's move on to the story of Nitish Jain and Captain Kolkata. And, I think it's a fairly straightforward story in the most part. But there was one particular thing that was very interesting to me that you mentioned over there. You mentioned the idea that the traditional marketing says that you should not advertise until your product is in distribution. Why is that? I mean, like, what are the reasonings behind that?
But, you know, advertising is very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. And so your classical FMCG rule book or playbook says that first get your distribution right, then do your advertising.
Right.
But a lot of times Indian entrepreneurs say, look, I don't have the name like Unilever or P&G or Godrej, you know. I'm a small guy. And when I go to the retailer is going to ask me, you know, who are you? So Nitish Jain was the guy who understood some of this early. And we were launching the brand in Bombay, Captain Kolkata. And our media analysis guy said, we will do this, we'll do that. So then he said, look, why are we not advertising on Star Plus, you know? So they said, look, sir, the Star Plus, you know, 80% of Star Plus viewership is outside Bombay.
Right.
Only 20% of the viewership will be in Bombay. So 80% will go waste. So he said, look, but if you don't advertise in Star Plus, Bombay will, you know, people in Bombay will not see the ad.
Right.
Consumers will not see it. Retailers will not see it. So we need to advertise. And the 80% waste is not a waste for me. Because by the time I finish my, you know, distribution in Bombay, 100 distributors from across India are going to call me and say, look, can I get your product?
Right.
So I'm going to create anticipatory demand for my brand outside Bombay. So he took a big call that, you know, we will advertise on TV, though 75% or 80% of the advertising is going to be waste.
That's interesting.
And it paid off, right? I mean, finally, he sold the brand. He made netted more than 100 crores extra, you know, profit on that sale. And it was very well done.
I think that's really interesting because what that tells me is that as an entrepreneur, he is, again, like Sanjeev Bikhchandani, like Darshan Bhai Patel, all of them, there is a risk taking ability, I don't know if ability is the right word, but right, you know, I mean, like there's a propensity to take risk that is not there as much in some of the other more traditional businesses, right?
Do you think that's accurate? Absolutely. I think an entrepreneur per se is an entrepreneur because he likes the excitement of taking the risk. He doesn't want monotony. A person who goes to a 9-to-5 job wants steady state.
Right.
Whereas an entrepreneur wants excitement. So there is something which I've written about, which is from this book called Originals by Adam Grant, who's a professor at Wharton, and he pointed out very rightly, he says, an entrepreneur doesn't mind trying and failing rather than not trying at all. So the regret that not trying is bigger than the regret if you try and fail.
Right.
So which is why, you know, new concepts of entrepreneurship, etc., is about launch fast, fail fast, keep learning, keep moving.
Right.
Which I think these guys did. I mean, Nitish Jain was not successful with the first three products he launched. They were all some different types of soaps, which all failed.
Right.
And then he got success with, you know, Captain Cook Salt. Initially, it was not a success, and he relaunched it, and it became a success, and he got success with Captain Kolkata. But if he had given up the first two times, he wouldn't have ended up building Captain Kolkata.
Very true. That seems like a great place to end this episode. Next week, we'll be back to discuss Chapter 22, Lights, Camera, Action. We're going to talk a little bit about the interaction of film stars in the advertising world.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Yeah.